we are. Coffee
Here
with
we
Prime.
Are. We're back.
Episode 13 okay. of season 2.
Yeah, so we took a little bit of a break. We didn't
take a break.
We didn't do an episode, 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, I think the 13th of December was the last time we had an episode. So
yeah, it's been a couple weeks, but we've been busy and stuff, which is good.
Yes.
But yeah, we are going to try to do an episode every week again.
Yes. Yeah, I think we will definitely be able to. And for people who might have been missing the new episodes, we are making up for it by, in addition to our featured coffee, bringing a couple extra beverages to the table today as well. The
Man,
coffee
I'm
with
excited.
Crime table.
This looks like quite the coffee spread.
It is. And fortunately enough for us, a couple of our listeners actually gave us coffee-related Christmas gifts. First of all,
and crime-related Christmas gifts.
Exactly. So first of all, I will talk about the thing that isn't exactly coffee, but it's close enough to coffee that I thought it would. It definitely bore discussion today. And again, it was from someone who listens to our podcast. His name is Brandon Green. And he gave us something that I had never heard of before. It's called brewed cacao. And it's cocoa powders, ground cocoa beans that you brew. Just like coffee. So
I'm really excited to try that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's apparently he's been drinking it for a while and kind of alongside coffee in his daily routine. And he said there's a lot of health benefits for it. Just like coffee, it has no sugar. This isn't, you know... The first thing people think of is cocoa, hot chocolate, but it's only the cocoa.
It smells
bean.
Good.
And it's amazing. On the back it says roasted, grounded, brewed, just like coffee. Brewed cacao has the amazing flavor and aroma of pure dark chocolate. While it brews like coffee, you get the benefits of cacao, a superfood prized by ancient cultures for its energizing and restorative properties. So let's give it a try.
Yeah.
It's best just to let people know if they want to find it. It's from a company called CryoBrew, C-R-I-O. I think they do like coffee as well, but they have this like non-coffee product. And so, yeah, let's give it a try.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's so good. It's like a coffee, hot chocolate combination.
Yeah. And like...
Man... I want to get some of that.
Yeah, seriously, we need to re-up because this is our last.
This is so good.
It really is. And the thing about it is it's significantly less caffeine than coffee.
Okay.
So a lot of the coffees we have, especially on this show, are medium roast or light roast, and they pack a real punch to the point where I can't have more than 2 cups, you know, in the morning, which is weird for me. I can usually have more coffee than that.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I get a little jittery with the amount of caffeine that I have. But this, you can drink it all day,
this
and
has
it's
a
very comforting.
Delightful aftertaste.
It does. It's
so good.
I would say that, so I've eaten cocoa powder before, and it's very bitter on its own.
Right.
Like, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, that's why people put sugar in it. But the whatever they did to this, there's a slight... I would call it a slight bitterness, but it's very pleasant. It's kind of like if you're eating a dark chocolate bar, which is my favorite kind of chocolate anyway. I like the higher percentage of chocolate in whatever I have anyway. I like that flavor. And so that's what you have with this, but it's incredibly smooth. And,
oh,
and again,
so
no sugar, less caffeine.
Why is this not a
why is it
bigger
more popular?
Deal?
Well, it's going to be now that it's on our podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Everyone's going to know about
Seriously,
it.
Seriously, this is amazing.
Brewed cacao, y'all. It's a thing.
It's so good.
It's, yeah.
So, like, I want to drink this only.
Instead of coffee?
For the rest of my life.
I drank it one day when I first opened that bag. I drank it. I brewed cups for myself all day. And I cannot do that with coffee.
Yeah.
So if you want to, if you have a job where you just like to have like, you know, something like coffee or tea,
beverage,
but you can't handle the amount of caffeine, this is a really good alternative if you want to try.
Oh, wow. It says it has less caffeine than decaf coffee.
Oh, I didn't.
So it has very low caffeine.
Yeah, very low. Yeah, I didn't read that part.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. So you can make this in your regular coffee maker.
You can.
Yeah.
It gives instructions on the side for French press and a drip coffee. I made it with a pour over because that's how we do it on Coffee with Crime. But yeah, you can make it anyway. It's best made. They say the best flavor comes out when it's brewed boiling hot, which is what I did. Just really as hot as you can get the water. With coffee, they say you're supposed to keep it like right under boiling, but with that stuff, it just boil away hot. And it's really, really, really good.
Wow. Your parents would probably really like this.
I think they would.
Because they like decaf coffee.
Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah. I should, they're one of our listeners. So yes. Mom and Dad, check
they're
it out.
They're two of our listeners.
they are an instance of our listeners. Cryo Brew, C-R-I-O Brew. Thank you to Brandon Green for the wonderful gift. To us, aka Coffee with Crime. The next gift we have is from Katrina of Swedish almond bread fame. Ooh. She actually volunteered to make bread for our listeners when we did the episode on the Stockholm Syndrome.
And a couple of our listeners
took her up on it. So she thoughtfully for Christmas gave us the holiday blend of a roaster that we reviewed a few weeks ago, which is called Kuma Coffee from Seattle. And they've got kind of a bear theme, which is just really adorable. And this is their holiday blend is called the Bear Claws.
And we actually talked about this one on we didn't taste it, but we had mentioned that they had this particular
Katrina quite thoughtfully got this for us for Christmas. And before we even say anything about it, let's give it a try.
All right. Yeah, I'm excited to try this one too, because I remember reading, and I forgot what the tasting notes are, so I'm going to try to guess.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's really good.
Yeah. You know what they?
It doesn't have tasting notes.
They do not
on it.
Have tasting notes. It's
some sort of holiday.
Well, right. This taste is what it says: region, North Pole, varietal, Santa's Little Secret, elevation up on the rooftop, and process elf produced.
Oh,
so
that's
just kind of like a cute thing.
That's really cute. It's really good though. Whatever the tasting notes are,
it is. It's a blend of two different countries. Can you guess either of the countries?
Ooh, Colombia.
Yes, that's one.
Let me take another taste.
Oh, did you?
Ghana?
No. But Africa, though. It's Kenya.
Okay.
Kenya and Colombia. So Kenya is very bright, and Colombia is more earthy.
Okay.
And so by doing that, they kind of create this sort of... There's, if you think of earthy as being... If you think of coffee flavor, as being like something that has all these different parts, that like a low part and a high part... that need to be filled, like the Colombia kind of fulfills that low, like, and the Kenya is brighter on its own. It would be like very, very citrusy almost, but the Colombia kind of balances it out.
Yeah. No, it's good. I mean, you can taste kind of like the citrusy elements.
Yeah, you really can. It's quite a good cup. We're sharing cups today because we have so many beverages. So
neither of us have the coronavirus, so it's okay.
No, we don't. tested and approved. That's right. And our final coffee, so thank you to Katrina for that coffee.
Yeah, thank you. That's really good. I really like that. And the bag is so cute. It's got a little bear with reindeer ears.
It is really well. It's really cute. And speaking of Katrina, we're always eternally grateful to Christopher Kuning for our logo.
Oh, yeah.
Which he so graciously created for us. So, thank you. Thank you both for the Christmas gift. And then our featured coffee today, which I actually got mailed to. So up until this point, we've either gotten coffee donated to us as a podcast or we've purchased it somewhere and just reviewed it. But this was a little bit different of a model. When I contacted them, they very kindly got back to me, but they said, hey, thank you for emailing us. We don't really do marketing donations. But they said we offer to not just to you guys, but to anyone in the world, we offer a free bag of coffee as sort of a trial thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to sign up and you do have to pay for shipping. So it's $5.
Okay.
But I just signed up like any other person would do. And I got this bag of coffee from Blue Bottle Coffee.
I like the design. It's very minimalist.
Very clean design. Mm-hmm. Just a white bag with on the front, just a blue bottle. And on the back, description of the coffee and a little sticker. But like other companies we've seen, they just have their normal bag that they can make for any coffee.
Right.
And then they just print different labels so they can kind of make that more of an efficient process.
Right. That's cool.
In packaging. But Yeah, Blue Bottle has a little bit of a history because I was out on my California trip back in 2011 visiting a friend, several friends actually, and that was one of the coffee places that we ended up going to, and I was like, wow, this is really, really good coffee. Like, and so I always remembered it. And then when you and I were in New York City a few years back, they had a Blue Bottle there as well. And I went there a couple mornings. I think you might have gone there too.
Yeah, I do remember that.
It was very close to the hotel that we were staying at. So yeah. So that was kind of like, it reminded me of that place. And then, so obviously now doing this podcast, I was like, oh, we haven't reviewed Blue Bottle yet. So I signed up for the, and just to let people know, I want to encourage people to get, because $5 for a bag of coffee like this is a really good deal. But it is a little time consuming, and I never like it when people kind of misrepresent something to me and make it seem like it was easy when it's not. Like, you do have to, you do have to start a subscription. Now you can get, it's just like a subscription with, you know, Amazon or Netflix or something, where like, as long as you remember to stop your subscription, you won't be charged.
Right.
And it wasn't hard for me it's not like they hit it or anything weird like that, but you do have to stop it. And it does go automatically on auto renew unless you stop your subscription. And so I already stopped my subscription. I got my free bag and for $5 shipping, and then that was it.
That's a good deal.
But the other thing as part of that is that you do have to enter your credit card information. Mm-hmm. I felt safe knowing about them as a company doing that. And,
right.
You know, but if anyone had any misgivings about that, then you probably wouldn't want to do that. However, it made me want to subscribe.
Yeah, I bet.
If it weren't for all the other coffees in the world I need to taste, I would have subscribed because, being able to receive, I mean, and it's very customizable. You can get two bags every 10 days.
Okay.
You can do whatever you want. And so a little bit about them, some on their website. Well, first of all, I should say this card. This would come to any subscriber, this card, kind of thank you for subscribing. It's a fold booklet.
Oh, nice.
That a picture of the owner.
Aw, who's that little baby?
I don't know who the baby is.
Grandson or something?
But the owner, it says, in 2002, James Freeman was a traveling musician disenchanted with the symphony circuit. I can imagine that would become disenchanting for some. So he rented a 183 square foot potting shed. Bought a little red Dietrich, which is a brand of a roaster, 6-pound capacity, and started delivering his hand-roasted coffee beans from his Puget wagon. Do you know what a Puget wagon is?
I've never heard of that.
Neither did I. I brought up a picture of one. It's a French-made...
Oh.
With the lion
Okay, it's
logo.
It's a car. I was expecting it to be a wagon.
Or something.
Yeah.
It's actually a car, a really cool-looking car, because it's not really like anything else you see.
Interesting.
And back in 2002, he had one of these station wagons and was driving around delivering coffee to people.
Oh, wow.
That is... Anyway, it says, we have come a long way since then, but the essentials haven't changed. We're still determined to source the world's most delicious coffees, roast them by hand in small batches, and deliver them directly into your hands on your doorstep. It's got brewing methods in here. It shows a picture of their coffee buyer, the guy that goes to the different countries.
Oh, okay.
His name is Charlie. It shows you how to brew it. And just a nice little welcome into the subscription. So that's really cool.
That's really cool.
Along with a picture of the beans, Ethiopia Gera Abana Estate Natural is what we have here. So now that we're talking about that, let's take a taste of the Blue Bottle Ethiopia. And you will find very quickly, as is the case with natural process, that there's that fruit flavor, like right up front.
Yeah.
You can feel that berry.
It's like
has
a
just,
berry yep. flavor.
Yeah, it's like you're drinking a berry.
It's
yeah.
really good. I like it.
It is really good. And on the back of this description card here that we got with our pound of coffee, it says, this fruit-forward, natural-processed Ethiopian coffee rides the fine line between intensity and delicacy. Such balancing act is what we've come to expect from great Ethiopian naturals. Though to say these coffees are typical is to misunderstand greatness. Let's see. Notes of raspberry, rose hips, and lemon zest.
Mm, definitely the raspberry I can taste. Yeah. That's really good.
I don't know what... I looked up what rose hips are. I guess they're little berries that grow off certain varieties of
roses.
They
taste like roses?
I've never had one, so I don't know.
Okay.
But It's a really good coffee. Very, very berry.
Yeah, it's really good.
One of the more berry flavored coffees that I've ever had. And again, that's just the process of leaving the flesh on for a while they dry. And so pretty neat thing. I would encourage anyone who's listening to the podcast that wants a $5 bag of coffee to go to the website, go to bluebottlecoffee.com, and then under the the tab, it's like the shop. There's a tab at the top of the website that says shop. You click on that, and then there'll be a little box that says try it on us. You click on that, and then it gives you three options to choose from. You can choose from single origin, blends, or espresso. So if you're a huge espresso fan, you can just click on that, and they'll only send you espresso all the time for your subscription. And then when whichever one you want, you click try this coffee, and then it will direct you to.
So you can pick whichever one you want to try.
Yeah, you can. And even within those three categories, there's dozens of coffees that they will send you for the subscription. But then after you click try this coffee, it will lead you to start an account on their website, and then, you know, enter your information. And then they'll, you know, within like a week, they'll send you a bag of coffee.
Cool.
Yeah, really neat. I'm glad I looked at the website, because under their story page, I found a little more information. I was curious why they were called Blue Bottle.
Yeah.
And I love the intentionality of the story that they tell. They say, the apocryphal tale goes like this. In the late 1600s, the Turkish army swept across much of Eastern and Central Europe, arriving at Vienna in 1683. Besieged and desperate, the Viennese needed an emissary who could cross Turkish lines to get a message to nearby Polish troops. Franz George Kolschitsky, who spoke Turkish and Arabic, took on the assignment disguised in Turkish uniform. After many perilous close calls, Kolschitsky completed his valiant deed, delivering news of the Poles' imminent rescue to Vienna. Now, I'm sure you're wondering, like, what does this have to do with coffee? Listen. On September 13th, the Turks were repelled from the city, leaving everything they brought, including strange bags of beans, which were thought to be camel feed. Kolschitsky, having lived in the Arab world for several years, knew these bags to be coffee. Using money bestowed on him by the mayor of Vienna, Kolschitsky bought the coffee and opened Central Europe's first ever coffee house, which was called the Blue Bottle, bringing coffee to grateful Vienna. And as you know, as nowadays there's a Vienna roast, so obviously Vienna is like a central place for coffee. And so
that's a true story.
Yeah, that is.
That's cool. Yeah. Did they feed the coffee beans to the camels?
No, the people in Vienna, in Western Europe, thought they had never seen coffee before. They're looking at all the things that the Turkish army had left, and they found coffee beans.
Okay.
And they just didn't know what it was.
So there were no camels for them to feed.
No.
Got it.
No. And then it says 319 years later, in early 2000, in Oakland, California, a slightly disaffected musician, coffee lunatic, was tired of overly roasted and stale beans, decided to open a roaster for people who were clamoring for the actual taste of fresh coffee. And he actually was, in honor of Kolschitsky's heroics, he named the business Blue Bottle Coffee and began another chapter in the history of superlative coffee.
Wow.
Yeah, so pretty
That's
neat.
That's really cool. And That's interesting.
In the early days, what's his name? James. In the early days, James actually was delivering all the coffee to people. He would call people on the phone and say, hey, do you like coffee? Like, I'm roasting. And he would ask them what kind they like.
Yeah.
And he would deliver it to them in his French wagon every week. And as the company picked up and stuff, that became impossible. But that is the origin of the company, is him just driving around.
That's so cool.
Delivering coffee
That's
to
a
people.
Very
yeah.
cool story.
Yeah, it really is.
That's awesome. What is that picture of the?
Oh, is this just a close up of the green beans before they're roasted?
Wow,
yeah, that's what they look like.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. The headquarters of Blue Bottle Coffee are in Oakland, California. They have locations in Southern California, Northern California, Boston, New York City, Washington, D.C., as well as Japan, South Korea, and Hong Kong.
Oh, wow.
I've never been to the South Korean Blue Bottle, but they've got them all over the world.
Yeah.
And a lot of the locations are either temporarily closed or takeout only because of the pandemic and stuff. But hopefully they will be opening again soon. And yeah, the website is very much like the bag of coffee. It's very clean design.
Yeah,
very well done. Very easy to find what you're looking for. They have a virtual coffee brewing classes. You can pay $10 and then you can get access to these 25 different lessons, like with really, really breathtaking visuals of coffee brewing and like showing how to do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So that costs money. But if you're like, nah, I'm not going to pay $10 for that. There's also under the Learn tab of the website, there are, if you just go to where it says brew guide, there's more of a blog style description of every single, like 12 different brewing methods, including ones that I didn't even really know about or haven't tried. So,
right. That's cool.
Yeah. They're very much into
it's
like,
it's crazy that there's like brewing methods that you don't know about. Cause I feel like you know about everything.
I mean, yeah, a couple of them I looked at, I was just like, well, I mean, like, have you ever heard of AeroPress?
No.
AeroPress is just, I actually have done that one before, but it's just, I'm so comfortable with the pour over. I like the simplicity.
Yeah.
And I think most third wave coffee shops are kind of, that's kind of the best, cleanest right. way to just, you get the most flavor out of the bean and stuff by doing that. So that's what I've just, I don't pay attention to a lot of different brewing methods, but if you are all about, you know, Chemex or all about, you know, AeroPress, it'll show you how to brew coffee like the official way with grams and,
right.
and heat for water and all that stuff. Cool. It'll show you all that stuff. Blue Bottle even has an app that you can download onto your phone, much like the Starbucks app, mm-hmm. where you can order coffee from your phone. You can go pick it up and it's all accessible from there. Now, in 2017, this was interesting. Nestle acquired a major stake of Blue Bottle.
Oh,
so they're now
okay.
owned by Nestle as, you know, as far as a corporation.
Yeah.
But I would say that this coffee does not taste like, you know, major.
No.
I'm like guessing that Nestle let
produced
them
or whatever.
Gave yeah. them a lot of leeway in yeah. keeping things
no,
small batch roasted.
It's
and stuff.
Really, really good.
Because it's really good mm-hmm. stuff. So that's the scoop
cool.
on all the coffee and cacao today.
Well, thank yeah. you for doing all that. This is a good way to like come back and like start 2021.
Yeah, well, I didn't yeah. want to let people down. I know people yeah. have probably been missing us and we've been missing them. So yeah. I wanted to come back with a bang. And we've got a lot of stuff for people to think about, try out, go visit to a website. And yeah, go get your $5 bag
yes,
of Blue Bottle coffee.
For sure.
But
so good.
Now that I'm all excited from this actual caffeine, I'm excited to hear about what kind of crime we have today.
Oh, man. Well, I just got to say, those were some killer coffees.
Ooh, nice segue.
So I think it's only appropriate that today we talk about the coffee killer.
What? There's
yes,
such a thing?
Yes, yes. So, like you mentioned earlier, our friend Brandon gave us the cacao,
okay.
or gave you the cacao, but he gave me a book of crimes.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a really cool book, a huge book. It's like three volumes, and I was flipping through it, and I happened to see the coffee killer one of them.
Oh, you got to do it.
Well, yeah, and I was like, what is this?
Right.
Is it someone who kills coffee?
Uses coffee
someone
to kill.
Exactly, or maybe someone who just like really likes coffee and also likes murdering
right.
people.
Could be so many things.
So yeah, so I was excited to read this story, and it's pretty interesting.
Wow.
So we are going to talk about the coffee killer, also known as Jessica Wangzhou. All right. So Jessica Kamala Wangzhou was born in 1988. She grew up in Jakarta, Indonesia, and I don't know much about Indonesia, but you've actually been there, right?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Indonesia?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, cool. Did you go to Jakarta?
Yeah, we were in Jakarta.
That's like the major city. It's
yep.
the capital, right?
Yep.
Okay, very cool. So she grew up in a wealthy family. You know, she went to the best schools. She always had an interest in art and design, and it was her dream one day to be a graphic designer. So after graduating high school, she was accepted to the Billy Blue College of Design in Sydney, Australia.
Which is actually pretty close to Indonesia.
Yeah, very. And I actually did. I looked it up on a map and I was surprised at how close
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
I didn't. In my mind, it was
short,
like
a plane trip.
Yeah, exactly. How far is it?
I mean,
plane.
I don't know exactly, but
plane.
Probably
a couple hours,
three
maybe.
Or 4 hours.
Yeah.
yeah.
So she was described by her college friends as bubbly and goofy. Jessica had an easy time making friends, and she grew especially close to a fellow freshman named Myrna Salihin.
Okay.
So Myrna Salihin, like Jessica, grew up in Jakarta, Indonesia. She and her twin sister, Sendi, were the daughters of a wealthy businessman, and the girls enjoyed a very, you know, aristocratic upbringing. You know, received really good education, and she too wanted to be a graphic designer, which is what brought her to the Billy Blue School of Design.
Billy Blue.
So the girls had a lot in common because they were both artistic graphic design students, and they were both from wealthy Indonesian families. So they became inseparable. They did everything together. They were both very focused on their studies. And in 2010, upon graduating from the design school, although vowing to remain close, the girls went their separate ways geographically.
Okay.
So Myrna moves back to Indonesia to be closer to her family, and Jessica stayed in Sydney, which was an easy decision for her because her family had moved there just a few years earlier.
Oh.
So she had her family there. She enjoyed being in Australia. Yeah, because she was living there. She really loved it. Oh, and so they decided to come there as well. I've never been to Australia. But I hear it's beautiful and
yeah, me too.
Really cool. So,
do you know where what industry her family was in that earned, you know, all the money?
I don't. Okay. Myrna's family was, her father was a businessman. I'm not sure what business, and I don't know about Jessica's family.
Okay.
I tried to find it, but it just. It's not out there for whatever reason. So Myrna and Jessica both quickly landed jobs in their field. Myrna at a prestigious design firm in Jakarta and Jessica at the New South Wales ambulance firm. So their future was looking bright. And although separated by over 3,400 miles, the friends remained close and kept in touch via text, phone calls, and social media. So in 2014, Myrna came back to Sydney on vacation, and the girls were really excited to be able to, you know, have the chance to be reunited, catch up, spend time together. So they got together, they talked about their jobs, their families, and especially the special men in their lives. So they were both currently in serious relationships. Myrna had been dating an upstanding young man named Arif Somarko. However, Jessica was in a relationship with a local Australian man named Patrick O'Connor. And Patrick was trouble. So he was a drug user, he was a heavy drinker, and he had quite a few run-ins with the law. And so, I mean, frankly, he was just kind of a loser. So, surprised, you know, Myrna was surprised that her friend would date somebody like that. And she was worried about her friend. So she gave her some very harsh advice on how being with a man like that could ruin her life, and she needed to end it. So she was basically just being a good friend, you know, just giving it to her straight. Like, girl, you're better than this. You know, get out of that. You can do better. So Jessica became very irate by Myrna's advice, so much so that it scared Myrna. So for the rest of her trip, she made it a point to not be alone with Jessica, but to always bring, you know, other friends along with them, just because she was kind of, you know, put off by Jessica's reaction. So shortly after Myrna went back to Indonesia, Jessica ended up breaking up with Patrick. So whether it was a result of her good friend's advice or the fact that she was sick of Patrick's tomfoolery, we don't know, but one thing is for sure, after the breakup, Jessica started heading in a downward spiral that would ultimately end in tragedy.
Wow.
And if we had commercials in this podcast, this is where we would break for that.
I feel like we should do a commercial for Brandon since he
Brandon Coco Green.
And also a book with the crime for
check out Brandon Green.
Yeah.
Single, handsome, funny.
There's our commercial.
All right. So, back to the podcast. So Jessica became very depressed. She started drinking heavily, and her performance at work and her relationships began to suffer greatly.
She was a graphic designer?
Yes.
At this point? Okay.
Yes. So she had a good job, and she's just kind of, you know,
This is in the 90s then?
No, this is in 2015 at this point. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. She was born in the 80s.
She was born in the 80s. Right. Yeah. Right. So, Grew up a child of the 90s and now it's...
So she's doing Photoshop and all that stuff.
Yeah. So she's, you know, she's got all that technology. So in August of 2015, Jessica became so intoxicated that she drove her car into the side of a nursing home. Through the building.
Whoa.
So fortunately, none of the residents or staff were injured, but she caused, as you can imagine, thousands of dollars in damage. She injured her chest, cracked ribs, and then ended up doing some time in jail.
Wow.
Because of the DUI and the everything else. So along with her alcohol use and drunken accident, Jessica attempted suicide several times at this point. Hmm. So by 2015, she had attempted suicide. Did I say she committed suicide several times?
No, you said attempted.
Okay. She attempted suicide. In October of 2015, Jessica attempted suicide once again by trying to poison herself.
Wow, she was really wrecked from this guy.
Wrecked. Like her life was just like...
Did her family know about all these attempts?
And I mean, at this last attempt, I mean, they knew about it.
Is that part of the reason they moved to
maybe to be Australia? Like, maybe they knew she was kind of unstable and they wanted to like be near her. But I mean, in 2015, in October, when she tried to commit suicide, she had written letters to her family and like her ex-boyfriend and stuff. So, you know, they knew.
Yeah,
that she was troubled. But this suicide attempt ended up landing her in the Royal Prince Albert Hospital. I'm assuming that's in Sydney. So while she was in the hospital, you know, on suicide watch or whatever, I don't know if it's the same in Australia, but in the US, I think they keep you there for 3 days or whatever.
Yeah.
So her boss at her design firm, Christy Carter, came to visit her and Jessica told her that she wanted to go home and that she was being treated like a murderer. Then she said, "If I want to kill someone, I know exactly the right dose," which was a weird comment.
Yeah.
So her boss is just like, okay.
Especially when you're trying to defend yourself against being known as a murderer.
Well, yeah. Plus, like, she was there for, like, attempted suicide.
Right.
So it's not like they were even accusing her of murder.
We weren't... Till now, we didn't think that was an issue.
We didn't think you were a murderer, but So once released from the hospital, things got worse and eventually escalating to Jessica threatening her boss, Christy, saying, "You must die and your mother must die."
What did her mother do wrong?
I don't even think she ever met this woman's mother.
She's kind of like becoming just unglued.
She's just totally unhinged at this point. So as you can imagine, Jessica was let go from her job.
Yes.
You know, you can't really tell your boss you want their family to die and expect to still have a job.
No, you'd have to have a pretty nice boss.
Or a crazy boss. And of course, her boss reported her to the police and eventually ended up taking out a restraining order on her as well.
Okay.
So in the meantime, Myrna was thriving. So not only was she working at a high-paying job, but her boyfriend Arif had proposed to her, and the two were planning a beautiful and lavish wedding to take place in Bali later that year.
Okay.
So she's, you know, doing awesome. So despite the long friendship, Myrna and Arif decided not to invite Jessica to the wedding because she had just gotten so out of control. So they end up not inviting her to the wedding. They think it's going to be a little weird or awkward to have her there. So, you know, and, you know, Jessica wasn't happy about that. She felt, you know, left out or sad or whatever. But a few weeks after the wedding, Jessica took a trip back to her hometown of Jakarta to catch up with old friends. So she ended up reaching out to Myrna, hoping that they could get together, maybe patch things up, you know, and talk about the good times they had in Sydney. So Myrna agreed to this. However, still feeling a bit uneasy being around Jessica, she invited another friend to come along. Hani Jawita was the friend. It was another friend from college who was also living in Jakarta now. So on January 6, 2016, the girls had planned to meet at a cafe called Olivier in a Jakarta shopping center around 5 p.m. So at 1 p.m. that day, Jessica texted Myrna and asked her what she wanted to drink because she was going to go ahead and order all three of them drinks before they arrived.
Red flag.
Yeah. So Myrna said, no, you know, you don't have to do that. I'll just order my own drink when I get there. Mm-hmm. But around 3:30 p.m., Jessica arrived at the Olivier Cafe, and she can be seen on CCTV cameras walking around the restaurant, looking at the tables, and occasionally glancing up and looking at the security cameras, which is, you know,
something everyone does.
Strange. Yeah. I mean, an hour and a half before you're going to meet your friends for coffee.
I do that. Doesn't everyone do that?
I mean, yeah.
Just scope out the scene.
So after a few minutes, she ends up leaving, and she goes to Bath and Body Works and buys three.
I also do that all the time.
She buys three small bottles of hand sanitizer for her and her friends. Okay.
All right.
And she puts them into three large gift bags.
Getting ready for the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, she was ahead of her time.
Way ahead of her time.
But I'm not sure why she bought and wrapped a gift for herself, because she was meeting two friends and she had three bags. I don't know. So then she comes back to the Olivier with the gifts shortly after 4 p.m. and places the gift bags on the table and then walks around the restaurant looking at her table from several different angles.
Weird.
Yeah. Her table ended up being visible to only one of the cameras, and it was pretty far away from the camera.
Okay.
So she's, you know, looking at her table, looking at the security cameras, and apparently this cafe had a lot of security cameras.
Yeah,
it sounds
wow.
like they had
good
at least
them.
Like three cameras in there, which, I mean, maybe I don't really notice cameras in like coffee shops when I go in there.
Hmm.
Maybe because I'm not trying to plan something sinister, but.
Yeah, maybe.
So when she sits back at her table, she arranges the bags around the table to almost create a kind of a shield that she like can kind of like hide behind.
I'm starting to finally put the pieces
together. Yeah. So, and despite her friend's wishes, at around 4:20 p.m., she orders drinks for all three of the girls, making sure to order Myrna her favorite drink, a Vietnamese iced coffee.
Those are really good. I mean, the normal ones are. I don't know about this one.
Roztox.
Roztox has great Vietnamese iced coffee.
Yes. And they're actually good.
Yeah.
And you can drink them without being concerned about anything.
Yeah.
So, from the CCTV, although the view was obscured by the bags, you can see Jessica doing something to the coffee cups. You know, she's kind of like arranging them and touching them and doing stuff. And who knows? So Myrna and Hani get to the cafe around 5:15. So at this point, Hani's coffee is cold and Myrna's is all watered down. And that's the real crime.
That is the real crime.
And she killed the coffees, and that's it. That's the end of the. That's the story of the coffee killer.
What a shame. I hope she went to jail forever.
No, I'm kidding. So the girls all sit down and they start talking, and Myrna, you know, quickly takes a big drink of her Vietnamese, her watered down Vietnamese iced coffee, and almost immediately she starts waving her hand in front of her mouth like something was really wrong with the coffee. She even offers a sip to her friends, and they both decline, like, no thanks. So she continues to cover her face with her hand for about a minute, and eventually she leans her head back on the edge of the booth and starts foaming at the mouth and convulsing.
Wow.
So, of course, this draws the attention of people in the restaurant, and they start to, you know, come over, gather around, and try to help Myrna because they assume she's having some kind of like an epileptic seizure.
Hmm.
So Hani is freaking out at this point. She's crying. She's frantically trying to call Myrna's husband to, you know, let him know what's going on.
She just had one sip, right?
Yes.
Wow.
One sip. So Jessica, however, is very calm and just kind of like slowly backs away from the table.
Wow.
So, however, when the cafe manager, Davi Siegan, comes over to assist, Jessica starts yelling at her saying, "What did you put inside the drinks?" So, because of this accusation, Davi actually gathered up the drinks from the table and took them to the back of the restaurant.
Smart.
Yes, really smart, to save and give to the police when they arrived.
Yeah.
So, police and medical personnel arrived, and they took Myrna to the hospital. Although, when they got to the hospital, it was too late, and Myrna was pronounced dead.
Gotta be kidding.
No. Isn't that crazy?
What kind of liquid could one sip kill you?
You will...
Have I even heard of this stuff?
Yeah, you have.
Wow.
You have, for sure. But it's interesting. So The police assumed that Myrna had had some type of a seizure. However, they decided that they would test the iced coffee that the manager had saved. And 3 days later, the report came back that the coffee contained a lethal amount of cyanide.
Oh.
Which cyanide is a bad poison. But
like liquid concentrate?
Cyanide? Yeah, I believe so. So, and I read this too, and I'm not 100% sure how accurate this was because I was like trying to find, I don't know. But apparently 50 milligrams is a lethal dose for an adult.
Okay.
And they, I read somewhere that the coffee contained like 7 grams
right.
of it. So it was just like insane. Yeah. And I don't know, like, if a small amount of cyanide, if you could really taste it.
Right.
But, like, she tasted obviously it. She yeah. tasted it, so it was super potent.
Oof.
And, like, really, like, yeah. it just loaded
she,
up.
She probably had much more than a minimum lethal dose.
Right, exactly. So the police ended up doing an autopsy on Myrna, and they discovered that Myrna's stomach also contained cyanide.
Mm.
I mean.
Yep.
Yeah. So after, whoops. After viewing the CCTV footage and learning about Jessica's background, her strained relationship with Myrna, they found that they had enough evidence to arrest her.
Mm.
So they end up arresting Jessica, and as you can imagine, this case became a media sensation.
Yeah.
So this like young, you know, girl poisoning this other young, attractive, you know, girl from a wealthy family doing well. It was just like, yeah. And that's when Jessica became known as the coffee killer. So the weird thing is Jessica seemed to love the attention. She was just like soaking it up. So she was always smiling, giggling, waving at the cameras, and laughing when asked questions about whether or not she had poisoned her friend.
Did she admit it?
No. So in one interview, this Australian guy, he's like, you know, did you put the poison in Myrna's coffee? And that's kind of more of a British accent. But and then Jessica's like, no, I have no idea who did it. Yeah. And just like kind of like laughs about it.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's creepy for
Very
sure.
Much.
So because her family was wealthy, they hired a celebrity defense attorney named Otto Hazebon to represent her.
Hmm.
So this guy was expensive, good at his job,
yeah.
all that stuff. The trial began on June 15th, 2016. And during the trial, there were a total of 46 witnesses that testified, including Jessica testifying in her own defense. And
wow.
basically saying that she didn't do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was her defense.
Yeah.
She didn't do it.
Where
and,
did that many witnesses come from?
They had Myrna's husband testified. I'm sure Hani, the other friend that was there, testified. A lot of people from the restaurant testified.
Okay.
You know, coworkers, Jessica's boss that
right.
she had threatened. So just a lot of people from their lives, you
huh.
know. So, and of course, during the trial, they also showed the CCTV footage,
right.
which didn't help Jessica's
no.
case. So on October 27th, 2016, after 5 months, Jessica Owongso was found guilty and sentenced to 20 years in prison. So her defense team attempted to appeal the decision. However, it was rejected, and Jessica is currently serving her sentence in a Jakarta woman's prison. And she will be released when she is 48. So she has to serve the rest of her sentence.
Wow.
And that's the story of the coffee killer.
So this was in Jakarta that she committed the
yes.
crime, right?
Okay, mm-hmm. yeah. Yep. Yeah.
So how old is she now?
She was 28 when she went to prison. That was 4 or 5 years ago almost now. So she would be like in her early 30s, 33.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah,
that's the coffee killer.
That's the coffee killer.
What a way to do it!
I know, and it's crazy. I had never heard that story before.
Yeah, yeah.
On all the stuff that I've watched,
yeah.
I used to watch a show. I can't remember what channel it was on. It was called "I Killed My BFF." Really good show, and it
Sounds
was
good.
It was only on for a couple seasons, I think. But this would have been like a perfect case
yeah.
for that show.
Yeah. I'd
but,
be surprised if they don't do it.
Yeah, I know. Somebody should do it. I mean, somebody probably has, but I just haven't seen it. But yeah, really interesting case. Crazy. What a crazy girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man. So I'm really glad you didn't put any poison in these
coffees.
Oh
yeah, you just trustingly drank all
yeah,
these
after
coffees
researching
I
this, I just come in and just start drinking these coffees that you had just already prepared for me.
Yeah, and I scoped the place out too.
I must really trust you.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Killer coffee. Wow. I mean, the sad thing is, like, if she would have been repulsed by the flavor and spit it out, she might have lived.
Yeah, I mean, like, she must have swallowed
did,
a good amount of it.
She swallowed it. Yeah. She must have just been like, all right, it's time to hang out with my friends. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to take a big old gulp
of this watered down hour old coffee. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Really sad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So it's kind of crazy that she only got 20 years in prison.
Yeah, that's kind of seems like a light sentence for murder.
I mean, it was very premeditated.
Very, yeah.
And the other thing is they said they never figured out like where she got the cyanide from. Hmm. Like they couldn't figure out, because she got a lot of it.
Yeah, clearly.
And I don't know, I mean, dose. I don't know how hard it is to obtain cyanide. I've never tried.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they use that for other than poisoning people.
Yeah, that's like, I know like in certain wars, soldiers have had like cyanide pills in case they get, you know, in a situation where like they know they're going to get tortured or something and they just like take
yeah.
a pill, which that's, you
know, yeah.
Hopefully they're not cranking out tons of those pills all the time.
Do they use it for like rat poison or something?
Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, because yeah. like what's the point of it?
But that's just so much that she had. Like right. that's something that normally is only like a pharmacist or a doctor would have right. access to, and she just.
But what do they even use it for, like at a pharmacy?
Yeah, I don't know. I
think we've talked about this before, but I don't remember.
Yeah, we'll have to ask our friend Matt, who's a pharmacist.
Right. We talk about Matt a lot on this podcast.
We do.
We always have
that's
like
poisoning is
poison questions.
Yeah. Yeah, female murderers like the poisoning route.
Yeah,
they're not too likely to hack someone up with a, you know, with a machete, but they will poison.
Yeah, yeah.
You told me that.
That is true.
It's a common mm-hmm. thing.
It's just a hands-off way to kill someone, I guess.
Yeah, don't get your hands dirty.
So that is wow. our crime for this week.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for preparing these coffees. Thank mm-hmm. you to Brandon, Katrina, and to Blue Bottle, and to you.
Yes, thank you. right. Yeah, so like we said, I think we'll be back with another crime soon.
Yeah, hopefully next week.
I already have a coffee with another separate story that's kind of related to one of our other listeners, which will be fun to talk
cool.
about. So that's ready to go. And so yeah, we'll have another episode very soon for you all. Hope that everyone had a wonderful holiday season, a great Christmas, a great New Year's. Mm. And I know for us, we're very excited about what this year has to bring, and just happy to have you guys as our listeners.
Yes, thank you, everybody, and we will take our coffee
with crime.